We move to the reading of the Word of God. We're just going to read one verse. Ordinarily, it's good to read a larger section or a few larger sections, but for our purposes this day, it's good to focus on just a small portion, and it's helpful for us because what God gives to us in this small section, this one verse, is packed with glory and power and wonder. And it is packed with that which is food for our souls. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, one of the most glorious sermons ever preached. Our Lord Jesus Christ preaching this. Listen very carefully. This is the Word of God. Being that it is brief, I will read it twice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would hide these words in our hearts, that we might not sin against You. We ask that You would feed us with Your Word, that You would feed us with Your Spirit, that we would be challenged and built up, that we would be encouraged, and that we would see that though we are unworthy of Your love, that You are a God of love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We take many things for granted as Americans. We take many things for granted as people in this time and this place. Ancient people did not have the luxury of taking things for granted as much as we do. They did not have refrigerators. They did not have shelves, many of them, with lots of food, freezers, and all the rest, bottled water, places to buy drinks very easily. Jesus speaks to a people who know what it is to have a deep longing, a deep desire for food and for drink, sometimes people wondering, when will I eat next? Will it be this week? Will I find water? Of course, they often had to live very near to water because there were sorts of plumbing that they had, but nothing like we have. Great luxuries. Maybe you don't know what it is to really be hungry, to really be thirsty. Maybe some of you do. But if you do not, you reach a certain point when you are hungry where it's all you think about. It is either on the forefront or the back of your mind. I want to eat. I am hungry. Or I am thirsty. The Lord Jesus speaks to a people who know what that is. But He speaks not ultimately about physical realities. He's talking about spiritual realities. One that we can identify with, we ought to identify with. Really what we would take away from this passage, really from, in a sense, the whole Bible, is that you must have a deep longing, a hungering and a thirsting after God's righteousness. Let me say that again, because that's what the sermon is about. That's my one point. You must have a deep longing, that is, a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. And we know that our hunger and thirst oftentimes is not for that which is spiritual. Oftentimes it is for that which is carnal. We desire, we long for our own autonomy, our own independence from other people and from God. We see Adam in the garden. Was he hungering and thirsting after righteousness? No, he was hungering after a sort of unity with his wife. He was hungering after that which is carnal. He was hungering after sin, ultimately. Hungering after disobedience of the clear and distinct law of God. Oftentimes, we can identify with that. We hunger and thirst after all sorts of things, our own pleasures and our own desires. But if we would be those who are kingdom dwellers, citizens in the kingdom of God, then we are, and that we will be, we must be those who are hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God. Now, this passage, I will say very briefly, has been taken a number of ways. There are those who would say that hungering and thirsting after justice, hungering and thirsting after justice, and insofar as there is any truth to that, that's minor compared to with what Jesus is ultimately talking about. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after justice? We may read the newspapers. We may watch a little bit of the news. We may keep up on what's going on in the world. And it seems that oftentimes we see so little justice. We see many people who have a great amount of material substance. They have great abundance. And then we have others who have very little, and we think, well, there's an injustice here. We might see in the news where a murdering child pornographer has just a few years sentence, having been caught doing what he's done, and then a bank robber gets life in prison. Seems there's little justice in that. We look at our taxes, and that's coming up, obviously, and we know people who get very adamant about the taxation in our country or any country. Certainly the Bible calls upon us to submit to our government and pay our taxes in a sense, but we also understand that as this is taken from you, oftentimes this money is used to support wars that you don't agree with, to support art that desecrates the glory of the Lord Jesus, and it is used for the propagation of murder of the most vulnerable among us, the unborn. And we might hunger and thirst for some sort of justice in these sorts of circumstances. And that is a healthy longing, a healthy hungering and thirsting for justice. But that's a hungering and thirsting for righteousness that Christians and non-Christians can both identify with. What Jesus is ultimately talking about is a hungering after righteousness, a hungering after a right relationship with one's God. An understanding that I would not stand before the face of God and declare my goodness. There are many people, I talk to them in the streets, I talk to them in the prison, I ask them, are you a good person? They're happy to tell me, yes, I'm a good person. I haven't done this, that, and the third. I haven't done this and that. These people are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They already think that they have it. And they would, if they were to die today, stand before a holy God and say, look what I've done. And look what I have not done. I dare say that if we would stand before a holy God, we would see ourselves as empty, empty vessels. See ourselves as sinners. See ourselves as those who have not and need something. We have not God's righteousness in and of ourselves. We are sinners. And we desire His righteousness. We desire His mercy. We desire His redemption. Ultimately, we desire everything that comes from our God. That is really what we're talking about here. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, because our God is righteous. He is perfect in all of His ways and majestic. We are sinners and we need God's mercy. And so we long for a declaration that we are right in His sight, because in and of ourselves we are not right in His sight, as much as we may be in our own. We are as children in an orphanage or in an adoption agency. And so often in an adoption agency, people want young, they want the youngest. And that's very understandable why that would be a desire of so many. But sometimes children are passed up and they get older and they get older. And what do they want? They desire, they're longing for, they're hungering and thirsting after the normalcy of family. And as those who understand the depths of our sin, who have examined our hearts, have compared ourselves with the Ten Commandments, the righteous, holy commandment, the law of God, we see that we desire what God has, to be in the family of God, waiting for Him to adopt us, to make us His children. That's what we mean here, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Ultimately, what we would be looking for, what the Lord Jesus is looking for, what God the Father is looking for, is those who desire to eat and drink of their God, because it's not material things, it is God Himself that we are after. You know that feeling of relief when you have what we used to call, when I was in sports, cotton mouth. Your mouth is so dry, and you take a drink of something that is so cold and so refreshing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and are not satisfied with the things of this world ultimately, but are satisfied with what God has and with who God is. For they will be satisfied. Our Lord Jesus was eternal Son of God, and He became man. And He, as our catechism, so was and continueth to be God and man in the two distinct natures and one person forever. And as a man who comes in the likeness of sinful flesh, but there was no sin in Him, the Lord Jesus was longing for, He was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He enters into the world and He understood what hunger and thirst were. Our Lord Jesus was baptized. What did He say to John the Baptist? John the Baptist took up an argument with Him. I should not baptize you. You should baptize me. And Jesus says, this is to fulfill all righteousness. A declaration from God the Father that this one is right in my sight, while everyone else is a sinner. And that is what happens, because God the Father speaks after the baptism. And it's a picture of the way that the Lord Jesus is going to go to the cross and ultimately be raised from the dead. That's what His baptism is, a picture of dying. And our Lord Jesus understood, as He was being tempted in the wilderness and then being tempted by Satan, who one of His temptations was to turn these rocks into bread. And what did our Lord Jesus say? That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here is the Lord Jesus hungering after the righteous word of His Father. Jesus says in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me to accomplish His work." That is the righteousness that He was seeking. And it is very significant for us as we would contemplate one who was righteous in every way, yet hungered and thirsted after a declaration that He was right in the Father's sight before an unbelieving world, that as He was moving forward to His resurrection, that the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross for you because He loved you and because He had chosen you before the foundation of the world, that our Lord Jesus hung there on the cross and that He said, "I thirst." And we would certainly understand what He meant by that if we were undergoing the pains of hell upon the cross, because He was thirsting there. And I don't know about you, but I take that in two senses. Certainly His body is thirsting after some sort of refreshment. He's thirsting after some sort of relief. But even there, as He was purchasing your redemption because He loved you, He was also saying, "I thirst." He continues to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that which He hungered and thirsted after, that righteousness in the body, He was satisfied, as we shall be if we are in union with Him. He was satisfied because with His resurrection, He is declared to be righteous in the Spirit. As 1 Timothy 3:16 says in a glorious hymn or a glorious poem that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and writes to you through him, writes to pastors through him, this poem. He says that the Lord Jesus was vindicated or justified in the Spirit. That is, He was declared righteous. All those who would call Him a liar and all who would make false accusations against Him, all who would long to see Him pierced through and a crown of thorns placed upon Him, and those who called for His crucifixion, He was declared righteous, and He was declared to be true in all that He said and did, justified in the Spirit. Romans 1:4 says that He was declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared to be Son of God. That is, declared. Think of it in a courtroom setting. He has declared before an unbelieving world that this one is right. And that is what we must long for. In union with Jesus, in union with the Son of God, that we who are sinners, we who have vile and wicked thoughts, that we want His mercy. And we want His righteousness. And we want all the things that God gives. But we want God Himself, because He is righteous. And therefore, we understand that we, in union with Christ, receive the gifts that He gives. Listen to the prophet Isaiah as he calls for us to desire to eat and to drink. And notice the price. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy milk and wine without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Isaiah is calling upon the Hebrews and he's calling us to receive the righteousness of God if we would hunger and if we would thirst for it. And if we would hunger after being declared righteous in union with Christ, we shall be satisfied. And if we would hunger and thirst after adoption into the kingdom of God, we will be satisfied with that. And if we would hunger and thirst after the Word of God, then He will give us the satisfaction of that. There is a sense in which as we, the people of God who hunger and thirst after Him and hunger and thirst after His Word, we live with an unsatisfied satisfaction. It's like water that you thirst for, and it satisfies you, but you desire to drink more. It is like sumptuous food that you hunger after because you can smell it, you desire it, but once you have it, you desire more. That is what it is for the children of God who love the Word of God, because it is God's Word and because it feeds our souls. That is the case as well for everything that He gives. And particularly today, as we would participate in the Lord's Supper. Listen to what your larger catechism says. What is required of them that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the time of the administration of it? I won't read the whole thing, because there are many points to it, but this is what is required of them that would receive the sacrament: an earnest hungering and thirsting after Christ. An earnest hungering and thirsting after Him. God is calling an unbelieving world, many of whom are hungry and thirsty and not for the things of God. And they will die in their hunger and die in their thirst and know a deep deprivation for all of eternity. But for us who are in the kingdom, Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price, purchase these things, but know that it's free. What God offers is His free mercy, His free grace. He offers His free righteousness. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, be with us this day. And we ask that if there would be anyone here who is not hungry for the things of God, that You would awaken an insatiable appetite for the things of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And also, we ask that we would hunger for You, our God, most of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.